this was kind of last minute. I don't know. Are you looking at your phone, Amber?
No.
I can't see you, but I can only speculate.
I can see you. No, I'm not.
The phone
Are you sure?
The table.
Yeah. Tim can verify.
What is she doing, Tim?
Right now, she's touching herself.
I am. She's
really?
It's awful.
What are you doing? Well, I don't even know what to say to that, to be honest with you. Okay, she's got both of her arms.
See? Now you know.
She's got both of her arms in the air, one with a beer in it. That's the level of professionalism. Here we go. This is Ghostly Talk. This is our second show with the new project.
So I'm glad to be part of the number two.
Yeah. The two-way. Yeah. Fat Jesus is in the house, an old friend of Ghostly Talk. Welcome, Fat Jesus. Thank you. This idea to do this was like a couple hours ago. Like, hey, come on out and hang out, dude. Yeah, have a couple drinks and let's do this thing. You know. So here we are. FJ's here hanging out with us. And
glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. Bonnie will be here pretty soon. We might do this show like in two parts. I don't know yet. We kind of talked about it outside before the show here. We might do two parts here because Bonnie literally is en route as we speak to come here to the beautiful haunted apple orchard here where we record the new Ghostly Talk at.
I think while Bonnie's walking in the door, she should make us drinks and bring them to us.
That'd be a good idea. I mean, this isn't a live show. I was almost hey, Bonnie, while you're listening, pretend like we're a real show or something here. Yeah, like, right. She'll be here pretty soon, so maybe we'll cut it up. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we'll just rip through the whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen just yet. Lot of really cool feedback from the first show. Again, can't thank you guys enough. The amount of email, we really didn't think this would be that big of a deal. I mean, the show has not been on the air for 7 years or doing anything for 7 years, and we didn't think this would be that big of a splash, which I don't think it's that in the grand scheme. In the universe, this is not that big of a splash. But the amount of email we've got and trying to manage this stuff and people on Facebook and some Twitter stuff I've gotten too, thank you guys. Thank you so much. It really makes us feel good to be welcomed back like this.
Well, I think you had such a good crowd before that with the fact that so many people are listening online more than ever, and it's a natural fluid drop right back into your old crowd.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I mean, we talked about this on the last show. I mean, the first show, if you guys haven't listened, go and check it out. It's there for free to download. It was more just like, okay, we don't know what the hell we're doing here. Like,
we still don't.
We don't know what the hell we're doing here. And we don't know how this is going to go. I really want to stress that. This is literally a grand experiment for us to see if this is something we're going to like go with. And that's not to like try to create some bullshit, suspense or something here. That's not the case at all. But really, we're like, let's try to do this thing. We had a really great time last time, and it was a great vibe. Everybody had a lot of fun. So we don't really know what's going to happen yet. But we're here. We're doing it again, and we got a couple things we're going to talk about tonight. Now, before the show, Tim.
Yes.
We were talking outside, and you had this really weird thing. You said, I'm telling you guys right now, we got a couple ideas, but really, we're coming into this thing like cold. We really just, it was kind of a last-minute plan to come down here and tape, and so we're really flying by the seat of our pants right now.
That's what I'm used to.
You originated that idea. We lived together. That was a weird time.
We needed a much bigger place to coexist perfectly, yes.
I'd wake up some mornings. I got to tell you guys, this is great shit, dude. I would wake up some mornings and to go to work. And like, you're already at work. Like, I don't know if the old school listeners of the show, you all know Fat Jesus. And this is a man that I talk about a lot because I've... Back in our partying days, like the partying days when we really were at it, right?
Oh, yeah.
This guy right here, sitting here, I'm staring at him right now. I'd see this guy get into so many levels of fucked upness. That's the only way I can really say it, right? I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to keep the floor and filth down a little bit, but...
That's about as accurate as...
This guy would be in all states of effed upness. Let's just go with that. But Tim was always the guy... That would always be the voice of reason, and when things would get ugly, which they rarely did, this would be the guy to go, hey, guys, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like, dude, didn't you just shotgun like 12 beers over there, like doing a handstand with a clown dancing around you?
Yeah,
what are you talking about, man? And you were always the guy to, And this was from personal experience, and I always tell, I love telling that story, the one where you came in that one night. That's when I worked midnights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was up really late, and you come in from the bar. It was like a, I think it was a Friday night, but you had to work Saturday morning. You worked every day. You come stumbling in, and I'm like, oh, hey, and you're like, hey, Scott, what's up, man? And like, you go into your bedroom, and I'm like, well, he's had a good time.
Might have been a little touched.
Yeah, a couple of pops.
Yeah.
And all I hear is, like, after a couple of minutes, I hear, dud. And I'm like, what the hell? And I run in there, and there you are, like, face first in the floor, and you're bleeding on the carpet a little bit. I'm like, oh, dude. I'm like, are you okay?
No.
I'm like, are you okay, Tim? You're like, dude, just leave me here. I'm fine. Just leave me here. That was like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember that vividly. And 6 o'clock in the morning, I was doing the midnight thing. So I was even when I didn't have to go to work, I'd stay up late, really late, because just to stay in that cycle, right?
Yeah, you have to.
So 6 a.m., I'm still punching away on the computer doing some dumb stuff, and I hear like rustle up. I hear the shower go on for like 10 seconds. I hear a couple rustles, and I just see you walk out, going, "I'm going to work. I'll see you later, dude." I'm like, "Wait. Who is this person? Wait, you're not the same person I live with. What's going on here, man?"
There wasn't even drugs involved to make that happen
either. It was just straight whiskey soaked.
Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. Sorry, I didn't mean to go. Well, I told you we were going to go in the weeds, and we're already in the weeds
that's
here.
That's all good.
But we were talking before the show, and something weird happened to you.
Yep. Well,
tell us all about this, man.
Well, it was Halloween night, which is actually a perfect night for weird stuff to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns November 1st at midnight. Well, my children had an old thing that they learned off of probably Nickelodeon cartoon something. I don't know.
Yeah.
First of the month, first thing you say is rabbit, rabbit. And it brings you good luck for the whole month.
No, wait. What time? Okay. So you have to say this on Halloween night?
Well, the first of the month. It was November 1st.
Oh, so yeah, it was past midnight. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So my daughter is a bartender, so she always works late, and so she wants to say to me, rabbit, rabbit, so that's the first thing I see and to remind me, so I say it, and I have good luck. I bolt up out of a sound dead sleep at 2:20, and I think there's something wrong, or I heard something woke me up, no idea what. 2:22, I get the text from my daughter, and it's just the two words, rabbit, rabbit. It was beautiful.
But literally 2 minutes before that, you just kind of just jumped out. And I mean, I know I've had that happen to me lots. I know it isn't the first time it's probably happened to you too.
Right.
I have those things where I'll just, I mean, literally I'll feel my stomach turn. Sometimes I've had weird things like that happen where something just don't feel right. And you'll have, and then next thing you know, you'll get a phone call or something else. You'll see something or something just will happen to
little
you.
Piece of premonition, or she was thinking about texting me so hard that it actually got through to my brain.
Well, yeah, that's what you said too. You're like, maybe she was thinking so hard that she reached out to me. You know?
And it was just bizarre as heck. I told her about it the next day, and she couldn't believe it. But it was just, you know, and then of course I get the text, and immediately you think, oh, a message at 2:22 in the morning.
Yeah,
it's got to be something bad. No, it was just rabbit, rabbit. But I had the adrenaline going. Next thing I know, it's 4 a.m. and I'm still awake.
Don't you hate that at our age now? Yeah. I found the older I get, you know, I usually have my regular cycle of phone calls. Like I do my at the end of the day, I always talk to my mother, and I always talk to Amber.
He's such a good boy.
I know, but that's just my regular cycle. I always talk to you know, typically I might talk to my mom during the day, like, hey, what's going on? You know, what's up? But there's those phone calls you'll get. And I'm not going to say it's something like anomalous in nature. It could be, but usually it's an off time. You're not used to getting this phone call from this person. And you just kind of know instinctively that, okay, whatever this phone call is, I really shouldn't answer it, but I have to answer this because I need to be a responsible person, right?
That's adulthood.
Yeah. That pretty much, I think if that sums up adulthood, that would be the thing that sums it up. Because when the older you get, those phone calls, you just get those weird phone, and you're like, oh, God. I had tickets for Rick Springfield, man. No, you can't do this to me right now. No way, dude. No. Yeah. And that's how much of a shallow bastard that I am. That's the first thing I'm like, dude, I had tickets for for Blue Oyster Cult, man. What are you talking about, man? No, you can't die. This person couldn't have died right now. This no bullshit. No, they gotta come back.
No, there's no hospital visits that I have to go to.
No, there's no hospital visits in my future here. I gotta go see Blue Oyster Cult tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to the hospital one more time.
What's that? one more. I only got one more visit to the hospital.
And that's it.
That's it. That'd be great. I wish that would be the way it would work, but no.
I know.
The wonderful modern day healthcare we have. Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Oh, dude, you got a little bump on your arm? Oh, it has to be cancerous. We're going to have to cut your whole friggin' arm off now. No. Sorry. That's the way it is. Don't ever look at WebMD. I learned that. You know, and that's a running joke now on the web, too, I think. I mean, because I've done that, too, where it's like, you know, my butt hurts a little bit. I don't know what's going on here. So I look it up on WebMD, and everything's either a venereal disease or cancer. I'm like, what?
Exactly. The first question should be, are you in prison?
But no, I do that, which I think, I actually think the WebMD thing it might help doctors because they don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to my doctor, and he's like, no, you know, don't ever read those things. But I'm like, dude, it's driving business to you because I read that I had a little pain, whatever, and I look on WebMD, and it says I'm going to die tomorrow, so I immediately book a doctor's appointment. So I'm coming straight to you. So maybe you should, like, team up with these guys because they're driving business to you guys, I think.
Really? All of a sudden, it's everything is horrendous. You know, you've got a scratch on your arm. It's got to be cancer.
Yeah,
you
better go. Dude, I just scratched myself on a. You know, you scratch yourself on a rusty nail, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Don't ever look at WebMD. If anybody out there has never done this practice before, don't do it. Just go to the doctor if you have something to worry about. Don't look at the internet for medical advice.
Well, you know what's even worse is all the ads on TV for all the drugs that say all these side effects that could happen to you if you take this,
God.
Or if you have these symptoms, you may need this drug and. My doctor knows more about that than I do. Why are they telling me this?
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to know any of this information.
Well, you take a drug, and then it gives you side effects. So you have to take a drug for the side effect. And you take a drug for the side effect. Literally, it's a piggyback thing. I've seen this happen. My parents have had to deal with this. They take a certain drug. It gives them some insane side effect. They have to take them off that to put them on something else.
Oh,
or they
absolutely.
Have to, again, like I said before, they have to give them a drug for the side effect of the side effect. This is like freaking Inception now, basically, we're playing.
Of course.
Medical Inception.
Well, like I told you earlier, you know, I'm on blood pressure pills,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So I have to take a medicine to counteract the side effect of blood pressure pills because... There's one part of you that you do want blood pressure.
What is that, Tim?
Well, I'm sure I'll leave it
well,
up to
you.
Well,
when a boy and a girl like each other, they want to have a baby. Well, we still have to work the studio out here, too. We're still, like, the equipment is, like, just kind of piled up. And I'm like, it's all in front of me. It kind of sucks. So I don't get to see Amber's face for any of this crap. So I know she's like sitting here with utter disgust.
I'll have to sit on a couple phone books.
Yeah.
Why? But, what's wrong? Why do you have to sit on phone books? I don't get
so
it.
So I can see you.
Oh, no. No, stop that. Actually, I kind of like it this way. Because I know everything I'm saying right now, you're probably wincing at.
Oh, yeah. I saw the wince.
And you'd fuck up my rhythm. So, no, I don't want that. So, yeah, so, okay, but that weird thing happened. That, you know, that's kind of cool. Like I said, I've had that happen to me, too, where just you get some strong feeling. The one I talk about is a one where, what are you looking at? I saw that. Quit staring at me.
No, I was...
I just see your eyeballs. I just see your little eyeballs staring over the monitor at me. The one I had, and we talked about this years ago on Ghostly Talk, so it's ancient history now. I had a weird thing happen where... My grandmother was dying. Like she was, you know, she was like stage four, like 99 cancer. But I don't know what, I don't want to know what all the stages right. are. But she was in real bad shape. My mother, bless her heart, was the one that had to go there and like take care of her for like 3 months. My mom was there taking care of her mother. And there was just, you know, and I was a kid. I was like just north of high school, you know, just got out
you
of high school.
You still don't know anything.
Yeah, and I still thought I knew everything. I didn't know shit. And it was one of the, you know, Scott, you really should go down there and see your grandmother. Oh, she's fine, whatever.
We got plenty of time because
I gotta go to Herschel's and eat cheese sticks and drink coffee. That's what was more important to me back then.
Well,
right?
Plus at that age, nobody, you know, you got forever.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're gonna live forever. So I didn't really understand mortality at that point. I mean, even as an adult, technically speaking, I didn't understand that idea still. You understand what it is, but you don't really grasp it and understand how you need to live your life around that, I think.
Right.
And It was one of these days, though. Literally, I was in the parking lot of this place called Herschel's that I was just mentioning a second ago. And I was sitting there. I was waiting for a friend to meet me there. And I was just sitting there, and something just came over me. Anxiety, just a state of anxiety came over me. My stomach got upset. I started to sweat a little bit. My heart rate, I mean, I felt all this come over me. And I'm like, why do I feel so weird? What's going on? And my friend Dave pulled up just like that moment, and he's like, oh, what's going on, dude? I'm like, listen, leave your car here. Come with me. And he's like, well, why? I go, look, I got to go see my grandma. It was just something instinctively said, you need to see your grandmother right now. So I went down there and saw my grandmother on her dying bed, basically. She was dying. And she didn't even know who the hell I was. She thought I was her son, my Uncle Wayne, who passed away, got 20 years ago now. Right. So she didn't really know who I was. And I just, you know, all I could do was just talk to her. And, you know, she just didn't even know I was there. There was just, but it didn't matter. That's not the point, man. I didn't need to have a conversation with her. But I just needed to be there for her and say what I had to say by myself and just kind of make my peace with her. We never had any. We were cool with each other.
Yeah.
But I had to make that peace. And of course, I left there a wreck. Just to see any family member like that, just, it's going to screw you up. I don't care who you are. And then we went out. I didn't even, I think we got back to the parking lot of Herschel's, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to be very fun tonight. Yeah. I'm not going to be very fun tonight. We didn't go there to eat. Are you kidding me? We came there to smoke and drink coffee. I just wasn't into it, though. And he's like, you know, I get it, man. It's cool. So I came home and literally went to bed that night. And 4 o'clock in the morning, my sister came down and said, Scott, Grandma died. So it wasn't like minutes like you're talking about, but there was timeline there. And that's one of those ones I'll never forget about, because something told me, you need to get your ass down there. And do the right thing here by your grandmother, and you know, and show her the respect that she deserves.
Well, I had that dream about Tom, which might have been a premonition. You remember me telling you about that?
Tell me about it again.
So Tom Mott, who most of you listening will remember from many Ghostly Talk conferences.
We talked about it
on the first show. He passed away in 2013, but before. So I had this dream suddenly where I was in my mom's kitchen and looking out the window, and all of a sudden there was this, basically how we look at death, like with the long robe, black robe,
with
skeleton
sickle.
Face. Brr, yeah. Brr. He wasn't holding anything, but it was like creepy. Like the flowing, just slowly moving up the driveway. You could see bone and muscle. It wasn't just like skeleton. It was muscle hanging off of it. And I'm looking at this thing, and my mom all of a sudden appears, and she's like, what is that? And I just go, it's death. And then boom, woke up, just like that. When dreams stay with you for a little while, I'm not just like, oh, I watched a movie that had that same thing in it, so that's why I dreamt it. That came out of nowhere. And I thought, well, Tom had cancer at that point, so I'm like,
yeah,
it was in the back of your head, maybe.
Part of me's like, uh-oh. And then 2 weeks later, he passed away. So, and I've never had a dream like that before or after. So I don't know, premonition or what. I have no idea, or just anxiety from my own head. And that's how it portrays in metaphor and whatever. But
and we got to be fair by saying that too. I mean, this is just from me, what I talked about, I'm not saying this is something like completely anomalous in nature, like some force came and grabbed me and said, you need to go see your grandmother now. It could just have been simply my guilt and my conscience catching up to me saying, okay, dude, and it just happened to happen at that moment, right? I've struggled with anxiety problems my entire life, so, you know, now it's like...
Oh, yeah.
The older you get, it only gets worse the older you get, because you get more responsibilities, and then you get more anxiety over the responsibilities, right? So, I mean, it's something I'm familiar with now, but back then it was something new to me.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, Charles Dickens, his Christmas Story... The guy sees the ghost. What's he blame it on? Oh, I must have had some bad food.
Yeah.
You know? So it goes back. You know, always.
But there's something I think, like we've always talked about, even in the old days of Ghostly Talk, it's something that we've said, even if it's something that could be explained away real easy, that doesn't mean as a person that you shouldn't pay attention to it.
Right.
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 And that's what we're doing right here with these ideas, and we really had no idea what we're going to talk about, to be honest with you. But there's something to think about. I mean, is there something... Okay. I'm going to try to abbreviate this one, but it's very topical because you're here tonight, nice. Tim. Do you remember the night And you remember this because we lived together during this time. This is perfect to talk about here because it is, it falls right in with what we're talking about right now. And
the big question is, was I sober enough to remember it?
We actually were both pretty clean cut that night.
Wow.
We played a gig that night. It's when I was playing with your band.
Okay, that's okay. Why.
Where are you going? Oh, she's got to refill her drink. Did you drink that hooch already? It's only about like a month old. Oh my God. Yes. Well, no. Okay, so that night, okay, I was filling in for your band. Remember we were jamming with the dentist.
Oh yeah,
the dentist. And
that was Zero Recourse.
Zero Recourse. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, dude. We played a show that night, and we lived together. Dropped the gear off, did whatever, and we. I remember the first thing we did. We lived right by a National Coney Island, which with you guys, the local people know what a National Coney Island is here. They're pretty famous here. Michigan's famous for its beautiful Coney Islands.
And there's like one on every street corner.
Yeah, and the food's like literally made. They just take a block of grease.
Oh yeah.
And they just kind of carve a hot dog out of it. Or a sandwich.
Actually, I think they got the whole pig in the background, and it's frozen. And they just hacksaw.
Well, I'll probably get sued by National for saying this, but years and years ago, like back in, like, this is like 94, I had for a short time, I worked at a butcher shop, right? I was just doing this for some extra cash because actually it was the first band I played in. We were trying to do a demo, and we, you know, back then it was like, oh God, you have to go to a studio and you have to pay all this money. But now you can just buy a software program or whatever. But back then you actually had to go to a real studio and deal with an engineer and pay a lot of money for somebody to record you. So we were trying to put money together, so I got a second job in my spare time just to get some extra cash. It was just something I walked into.
So you could earn blood money.
I could earn blood money, literally. And this one day, like, we were working, we get whole pigs in there. We get whole pigs in there, right? And the butcher, John, the owner of the place, he was cutting, you know, he's doing like, you know, it was tough to watch, but he was doing all this work, and he would pull all the, they call it suet.
Oh, yeah.
Suet.
Mm-hmm.
Internal fat of a pig.
Oh, yeah.
They would.
I've got a lot of that myself.
Yeah, so do I. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? He was putting it in all these, like, you know, containers. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'll go throw that out. He's like, no, don't throw that out. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, National Coney Island's coming to pick it up. I'm like, for what? When he's like, well, that's what they put in the chili to keep it fresh. I'm like,
how does that keep it fresh?
I am never eating National Coney Island chili ever again.
So right? When you get the blocks of National Coney Island chili frozen in the grocery store.
Gross,
it's the most horrible stuff ever.
Oh God! But you've actually bought that?
I do make some bad drunken decisions.
Shit faced at Kroger one night. That looks great.
Oh God!
All I gotta do is just put it in the microwave without a bowl or anything around it, and just warm it up, and I can just eat out of the microwave. Yeah.
I bet you if I would have had suet, it would have been fine.
Oh God. Ever since I heard that, I'm like, I'm never eating at that place ever again. I'm sure it's a pretty commonly known thing, but so guys, don't sue me. I don't need to be sued.
Yeah.
So, but that night, we stopped at a National. I remember we stopped at the National close by the condo there, and we came there to get a bite to eat,
right.
But then the cops showed up.
Oh yeah,
there was a fight or something that happened, and we're both like, we don't want to be a part of this thing. Let's just get the hell out of here and go home. We're not that hungry anyways. We just kind of shot home, and you and I had a conversation that night. And we were just talking about, you know, whatever, past lives, you know, ex-girlfriends, stuff like that, right? And I talked about one. And Amber, you heard about this, didn't you? Amber's back, by the way.
Yeah.
Amber, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing? I just did the Chris Hansen. What are you doing? Have a seat. What are you doing? Are you here?
I'm here.
What are you doing?
I'm just sitting here.
So you remember this story, don't you?
I have no idea.
Okay, fine. All right, all right.
She missed the suit.
Oh yeah, you're right. She just got back here a second ago. So we started talking about this, like, you know, like an ex I met. Like, this is like ancient history, right?
Oh yeah.
And long story short, you and I talked about it. I remember, and I hadn't seen this person in like just I'm talking like pushing a decade, right? And I remember I talked about it that night with you for the first time, like in. It was one of those things I just shut out. It was painful, didn't want to deal with it. It was just one of those things. It was, you know, puppy love kid crap.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the next day, we talked about it. I remember I kind of sobbed a little bit that night. I don't know if you remember all this, but I remember it vividly because it was such a profound thing that happened to me. But we talked about that, and the next day, I ended up having to go to a Lowe's to, you know, that's a hardware store here. Yeah, I'm and these people now, great. I had to go to a very large hardware store chain to turn in a part. The toilet handle broke on the toilet. So I had to go and I bought the wrong one. So I was going back there to return that one and get a new one. So I'm in line and waiting, and I just feel some eyes staring at me. And I'm like, what? And I look over and I see a very, very familiar person looking at me. And I'm like, my God.
It's been 10 years.
Well, it was just kind of like she looked at me, and then the girl was like, oh, can I help you? I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, hey, I just got to turn this thing in, whatever. And then I'm like, no, something, what's up, dude? So I go to the other counter, and I say, hey, is that girl with the green sweatshirt on and the blue vest thing, is her name Heather? They're like, oh, yeah, she's the store manager. I'm like, can I speak to her, please? I'm like, yeah, sure. She came out, and she's like, I thought that was you. I thought that was you. I knew you looked familiar, and that was the person that I had not talked about in so many years. I mean, talking like just years. And we just with that conversation, not 12 hours before that, and there I am standing there talking to this person.
Seemingly popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, seemingly popped out. Exactly. That's the greatest way to put it. So we chatted. We just chatted for like a while, went on the loading dock and just BS for a few minutes. And married, she's doing great. Dang, truly happy for her. Really, right. Like, yeah, it's great to see you. It's cool. And I did relay that to her. I said, you know, just not 12 hours ago, me and my roommate were talking about you. I haven't talked about you in years. I haven't thought about you in years. And here you are standing in front of me. She's, you know, we both were like, woo! Right?
But you always have to wonder, worry about your own imagination, because could be when you went in there to buy it in the first place, you saw her out of the corner of your eye and that stuck in your head. You can't be sure.
You never know.
You never
know. And that's what I'm saying. There's a million different outcomes for
exactly.
this.
Exactly. I'm so afraid of my own imagination, because I always go to, you know, I've always watched every horror story and everything that's out there.
Yeah.
Years ago, 19, somewhere in there, me and a buddy go ski on a ski trip.
Yeah.
And we're in the lodge at the top of this mountain. Mm-hmm. We're done for the day. We had a couple drinks and going back because we wanted to get up and go skiing early.
Yeah.
So we walked down the hallway, and, you know, it was a severe winter storm kicking up outside. And on the opposite side of the hall from our room, this wind was blowing so hard, and I had this huge mental image of if I opened one of those doors, I would fall off into death. It was just so bizarre
really?
And phantasmagorical mm-hmm. that I knew that death was on the other side of that door. Mm-hmm. And it was the wind and the storm and everything. It was just, and my imagination kicked way into overdrive.
Yeah.
He opens up the room, and basically I'm like the 6-year-old kid. I hop into bed and pull the covers up over my eyes.
Oh my
you know,
God.
If they can't see me. And the guy I was with, mm-hmm. it actually scared him. My reaction was so strong. And this is a guy that the following year went off to boot camp, was an Army Ranger and one of the most badass people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And years later, he admitted how scared he got just from my reaction. And I knew it was all my imagination.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so I always try and guard myself just thinking back on that. Uh-huh. What the hell is my brain doing to me? You know?
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, over the years, I've been able to talk to people who, you know, who work in the psychology, you know, they're psychologists, they work in psychology, whatever you want to call it. And they're like, the things that happen when you're young, and it's not, you know, you're a father, you know what I'm talking about. You've raised two kids. Children, when in those young years, it's so crucial. I think, well, obviously in this state and age of the country we're in now, parenthood is not taken nearly as seriously as I think it should be, especially for a child, you know, from birth to like the age 10. Those formative years, I think, are so pinnacle to how a child, what a child's outlook on life's going to be into their adult years, right? So things happen to you, I think, when you're younger, and I know things happen to me. And like that's what you're talking about is a really good example of that. It's something that's going to stick with you. It's something that you can't shake for the rest of your life, and that'll affect you. Even in your age now, in my age, and I've had the same type of weird things happen to me when I was younger, that they're stuck in my head. They're a constant vision in my head that I can't get out. Right? Yeah. They just won't leave there.
Well, it's a part of you.
It's a part of you, yeah.
But that like that incident makes me guard myself against my own imagination. You know, whenever I think something as weird is going on, mm-hmm. I always look for rational, scientific type explanations.
Yeah.
You know, all right, what the hell caused this? Because I know just vividly the pictures that run through my head are just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And I think that we all know, first and foremost, that your imagination is the absolute juggernaut of fright. There's nothing that can scare you more than your imagination. I think that's what really drives people mad more than anything else is just letting a person sit and grind over something. Yeah. I think people, and it's something that scares me to death. Like, I've thought about this, like, you know, if you lose a loved one, like a kidnapping or murder or something like that, and you think about all the people that have had to go through something like that, and I think about what I would, you know, first off, the guilt.
Right.
Number one, right? Second off, what I would do in a situation like that.
Empathy.
Right? Empathy, right? There's a million ways to look at this thing. Oh, Bonnie's here. She just like kind of fell through the door.
Bust through because I got to wait closing the door.
Oh, you have to wait. This is a pretty, this is high tech in here, man. We're really doing it. But no, you think about that. And you think about that idea like, okay, so something like that may happen to a person and their family member, right? And like, you spend the rest of your life having to live with that. You know, you think about that. I mean, there's a million of these like Forensic Files and all these shows that are on which are, don't get me wrong, true crime is really interesting to me. But if you really kind of, hi, Bonnie. Talk.
I don't want to.
I think your mic isn't on. Turn it on.
What if I don't want to talk?
Okay, then don't talk. Me and Tim are having a great conversation here. You can just sit there and stare at us. I don't care.
Okay.
So, but yeah, those shows are fun. But if you put yourself in, if you truly put yourself in their place and think about, that family's destroyed.
Right, right.
That family is destroyed. There's nothing you can do to repair that.
Well, and I watch those shows not on empathy for the victims, but to reveal the true depths of horror that humanity can do to themselves.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
But what that does to the person, though, after that, and they always say, and it's true, I think, you know, well, look, this person's gone, and this is bad enough, but what they've left in their wake also by these actions they've committed is nothing. And that's where I think the insanity really happens then, because you got a person or people who are now sitting there stewing on this.
Devastated.
For the rest of their lives, going, what could I have done? What could I, you know, what... like I said, the guilt's gonna, they're gonna be guilt ridden, which is bad enough, but then they're thinking like, oh my God, I just wanna just, and that's where you get even more problems. It's unfortunately, it's a snowball effect,
right? And it goes the same for suicides. You know, everybody around them is hurt more than any of us will ever know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Like you said, it's a lot of that's imagination driven. Mm-hmm. Because you stew on it and go over it and over
your imagination. You're writing all these timelines. You're writing all these stories in your head of what could have been or what I could have done, and you, at the same time, you know full well that there's nothing you could have done. It's been done. It's all over with. You know. So, Bonnie, so how's your forehead doing?
I hear nothing.
You don't hear anything?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, hang on.
That's what she was waiting for. She didn't want to speak until she could hear.
No, it's okay.
There you go. Hey. Jesus. Can you hear now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry about that.
I mean, I could hear you guys talking.
Yeah, but yeah. But can you hear okay now?
Yeah.
Is it not too loud?
No, it's
are you not comfortable?
Too loud. I'm fine.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah, but that idea, and we're going to move off of this.
I don't know what I just walked into, but.
You know, it started with gutter guards, actually. We started talking about gutter guards because we thought that would be really interesting to talk about.
This is deep.
I know this is gonna, and it got to.
It started out as a home improvement show.
Yeah, it started out as home improvement. It kind of did.
I know
a little bit. If you think about it, but you know that idea. That's what really kind of when you talk about the imagination and how it really. I think that's what causes the cancer. Honestly, is the imagination. It's the worst thing. However, the imagination's a fun thing to play with too. We all know. We all like entertainment, and I complain more and more about modern films I see now, especially horror films and supernatural type films, because they don't give you anything to think about anymore. Right. They just give you, put it all in front of your face. It's so visceral.
It's graphic off the bat. Yeah.
And there's nothing for you to imagine anymore, right? So, you know, there is something to the imagination too, where I think obviously it's a great creative instrument, and that's what makes wonderful things happen, I think, too, is imagination.
Right, but the best movies let you imagine more than
they let you imagine. Yeah. So. Like, I don't want to know where they came from. I don't care where they came from. I just know that they exist, and that's all that really matters to me,
right?
I don't need a backstory. I don't need a forward story. I don't need a backstory, which is what you see nonstop in freaking films nowadays, which is just ridiculous.
In a non-sexist movie.
Oh, yeah. We can't have that. We didn't talk about the new Ghostbusters movie here, did we?
No.
Let's not talk about that movie. I don't want to give any more. I'm not doing that. I haven't mentioned that on this show yet. I actually do another podcast, too, called Real Crime, which is at themoviesleuth.com, which is another podcast we do. A bunch of great people over there. And we kind of mentioned movies. That's what made me think about it. Yeah, I work for a movie review site, too, just for some.
Well, what's the address?
Themoviesleuth.com.
Oh, nice.
It's called The Movie Sleuth. Chris George. You know Chris George.
Yes.
Yeah, Chris George. Good guy. So that's another thing you guys can check out, too. That's why I said I don't want to talk about that, because I don't want too much crisscross here, because we beat the crap out of that movie.
Yes. But it's
on the podcast.
Just a little cross-promotion is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. There's the cross-promotion. Let's move on now. So, Amber.
Did they pay you for that?
They pay me a lot for that. Dude, the amount of money I'm making. You have no idea.
Yeah,
the things that have happened to me over the years, people, you have no idea. Amber, you got your hand up.
No, I was swatting at a fruit fly.
There's a fruit fly down here.
Yep.
We have to kill it. Or get it on the mic. Let's interview it.
Hey, guys. Really like the show.
Hi, fruit fly. How you feeling?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah. What's your day been like today?
I don't know. Just flying around.
So, fruit fly, where do you come
wow.
from? Fruit fly, where do you come from?
Georgia.
Well, how'd you get all the way up here from Georgia?
Your arms.
I flew.
Your arms must be tired.
Yeah.
That's a new one, huh, Bonnie?
Wow. That's all I got.
This is why we never mixed alcohol with ghostly talk in the past, and that's why it's making it a more interesting show now, I think, too.
I think it's
Amber, are you swatting?
I'm not drunk. There's just a fruit fly zipping around my head.
I
was talking
drunk.
About myself, actually. But okay. Bonnie, you're here.
Yeah,
I am
and
here.
We were, before you got here, we were talking about premonitions. So have you ever had happen? We got excited there.
Look at her Christmas tree.
I don't like people screaming at
I know, right? Everyone's just screaming.
Who screamed at you?
You.
That wasn't a scream. That was an excited roar.
You're loud.
You really should have saw that coming.
Have you ever had a premonition about anything?
God. Oh, God. Bonnie's already laughing. The show's over with. Well, we got 40 minutes out of it. We'll call it a night now. Bonnie, okay?
I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine.
No, yeah, we were talking about like just weird premonitions and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd like to hear. Do you have one that pops out immediately to you?
No.
Okay, let's move on then.
Last time we were in New Orleans.
So glad you brought it up.
Yeah, thanks.
Last time we were in New Orleans, we were in this square that had all these artists and, you know, artsy fartsy, the paintings and stuff like that, and a bunch of psychics and palm readers and stuff like that. And this one goes up to the other and starts bitching at her, yelling and screaming. You know, you take up the best spots, you stay here all day, blah, blah, you know, just yelling and like they're going to throw down in a fight.
Yeah.
And I turned to Tina and looked at her and said, why didn't that first one see this one coming?
Well, you'd think.
You'd think it would have already diffused it.
That's for a whole other show.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about this video?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about that? Now, one thing I don't want this to, you know,
ever talk about this when it happened?
Well, we did, and that's the thing I want to make a point clear here is ghostly talk going forward now. I don't want this to be a nostalgia type show, right? We're having fun with this tonight. We haven't seen Tim in a long time, so it's a nice little family reunion. But I really don't want this to be a nostalgia show. But there were some things, and this is one of those things I thought that we didn't really give enough time with ghostly talk back when this happened in 2008.
Let me give just a slight lead in.
Okay, go ahead.
Back, moved to Michigan, never seen the Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working up in Lexington, and I get moved to a start time at 3 a.m. So I'm driving up to Lexington, pitch black. I see this green goop floating in the sky. Never seen it before. Didn't even know what Northern Lights were. Wondering what the hell it was. On the riff, on the radio,
mm-hmm.
I start hearing this instrumental song. First time I'd ever heard it. Never heard it before. Didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
DJ is like, and this is Joe Satriani surfing with the aliens.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the f-? You know? It was beautiful. It was just a beautiful little moment.
Yeah. Well, it all just lined up for you.
I think everyone that sees the Northern Lights for the first time is startled, because the first time we saw them, we just saw the, I don't know what they call them, what the scientific term is, but they have like an aftershock, like these wispy white things that sort of move. And that's what we were seeing. So we looked up and we're like, we're in woods. Because when I was little, we used to hang out in these woods. It'd be pitch black, but we knew them by heart.
Yeah.
And we just see this weird stuff going on in the sky. And it's just two of us. And we're like,
Absolutely.
Like, we're waiting for the ships to land. But I thought, oh my gosh, which way is north? We ran to the front of my house and there was the green lights moving. And we're like, oh, no way. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. When you finally realize it, you think, God,
I'm safe. Yeah. I'm safe. It's no invasion tonight.
Well, we've never been spared for UFO talk on this show. We had something happen, and this was back in 2008. And the reason I did want, like I said, I want to talk about this is because this was something I don't think we really gave enough time to back.
Well, and the only reason it's coming back up was because this past week,
I happened
to be on the MUFON website, Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
And everybody puts in their reports and stuff if they're good people and report. Like, there's a lot of... Like, if we went through the list and read the sightings around here, half of them we'd be laughing our asses off, because some of them are just like, no, you were high. Like, that is not a real UFO sighting. But
that explains a lot. Yeah.
I wanted to look up, because what we saw, which is what we're going to talk about, I wanted to see if anyone else had ever put another report in. And sure enough, someone responded to ours saying, hey, like about maybe 2 weeks later, about they saw something similar, like... Exactly, in the same area. So
that
I was like,
same, that same
so,
night?
Not the same night, but it was like 2 weeks later, or a few weeks, whatever. And so I sent it to Scott. I'm like, hey, check this out. Yeah. You know, so this kind of made this topic come back up again.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, we really should talk about that. I think it'd be really something neat to talk about. So, and what we're going to do, we're going to play this video, and you're not going to see the video, obviously, on the show here. I think it would be a good idea for us as part of the archive for the show. We'll include the video for download, for people to download
Absolutely.
And check out. So what we'll do
for right now, you use your imagination.
You use your imagination. We're wondering. Amber just did it. do the big circle with your hand. Yeah.
Imagination.
There's a rainbow in between.
Yeah.
Imagination.
So let's watch this video. You know, it's a cool, you know, and I know this was with Tom, too. Our buddy Tom, we talked about. He was actually taping this, and it was Amber and myself and Tom. Just to lead off with it very fast, I was watching Police Academy. I think that's what it was. We had dinner that night.
It was evening.
We went out for dinner. It was evening. We were at Tom's place. I was like just, you know, one of those
November
food comas.
November 28th. You know, it was November cold. 28th. It's Michigan.
Food coma on the couch watching Police Academy, and I hear Amber go, get out here right now. There's something in the sky.
Well, if I preface this, so number one, I am terrified of aliens, UFOs, anything like that. I've had a series of bizarre dreams throughout my life that have stuck with me, and they're creepy. And every time I talk to a UFO expert or someone else, they're like, oh, you should get regression, or you should get... And I'm like, no.
I don't want to know.
No.
Yeah, she's dating
Because then, okay,
Scott.
going back to Scott saying that imagination is everything, what if I do a regression and it's just my imagination building up these aliens attacking me and putting implants into me, and oh my God, and then I think that's a real memory, and okay, whatever. So... Anyway, when I was looking up, Tom and I stepped outside. We're having a smoke. He's having a cigar. And we're just relaxing. And I look up, and it's a super clear night. And whenever you look up and you see a light moving, your first rational thought is that it's an airplane.
Right.
So I see this little light moving, and I'm like, airplane, whatever. And then it does a dive bomb. And then it goes back up. And then it starts like doing these maneuvers, and I'm like, huh.
And if you guys hear a rumbling sound in the background. I forgot to turn the furnace off for the show. Oops.
Wow, that is noticeable.
That is. Yeah, anyways.
So anyway, I ended up pointing it out to Tom. Tom looks up. First thing he says is, that's not an airplane. Okay.
Yeah.
So we watch it for another minute or two, and then I'm like, this isn't going away. And that's when I'm like, Scott, stop watching Police Academy. Get your butt out here and come look at this.
How do you tear yourself away from that beautiful thing?
Well, yeah.
So he comes out there. And we start watching this thing do these maneuvers. We can't explain. I'm like, this is it. This is War of the Worlds. This is, oh my God, here's my UFO sighting. Ugh, it's going to abduct me.
Okay, where were you again?
We were in Grand Haven, Michigan.
We were in Spring Lake.
Ferrisburg,
yeah, which they're all three little towns.
And so we were facing, which would have been west, towards Lake Michigan, which Lake Michigan has been known to be a UFO hotspot. We've had our little flaps throughout the decades. And we were facing PowerPoint, which is right on the, or PowerPoint.
Oh, gosh.
A power plant. Anyway, a power plant that you can see in the distance that's right on the... Okay.
Stop that.
I'm sorry. I need a little one of those things.
Okay, I'll go buy you one.
Thank you.
Right now.
So
be right back.
We were facing the Grand River. So yes. We knew exactly what direction because of that power plant. And But what had happened is it blipped out of existence, and we had enough time for Tom to run in and grab his equipment and set up his camera.
Now, we didn't know if it was going to come back.
No, it came back.
Okay,
and
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah,
what year was this?
2008.
So it was. Was it done on your Nokia? What?
Well, yeah. So he's got like a standard. Maybe it was a 5 megapixel Kodak
camera. Real camera.
Yeah, decent, and not like a SLR or anything like that, but decent. So he set up a tripod quick. He set it. You know, we didn't have night shot or anything like that. So now after this whole thing, I have a new appreciation for any blurry blob UFO photos because it's damn near impossible to get anything.
We both were like, oh man, here's another one. Oh boy, there's a little blob in the sky. Somebody calls it a UFO. But yeah, that's exactly what I said too. So I'm like, I know this video like the back of my hand now, and I know what I'm looking for. Of course, we're all front loaded. But I know anybody, and it's still interesting regardless, but I know anybody else can be like, well, it's just you guys staring at the sky going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, over and over again.
I haven't seen this video in years, so but I seem to remember you can tell that we're genuinely startled.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's just go for it. We're going to play this video. It's only a couple minutes long, so let's just rip.
Now, for all you people listening out there, stop the podcast, click on the video that's going to be linked in, and watch it with us.
Yeah.
And then come back to the podcast.
Yeah, brilliant.
You can get our commentary also. We're going to play this sucker. Here, let's just do it. Here we go.
There it is, man. There it is. What time is it, Amber?
I don't know.
Here, I got my clock. Right now, it's 11:41 p.m.
It started at 11:25.
It's November 28th. It's really bright, dude.
It's like brighter than it was before.
Yeah, I can't get it on.
Holy crap, there's two lights.
November 28th, 2008.
Trying to get it.
Dude, holy shit, man.
Oops.
I'm not getting a good shot.
There's a part coming up here I'll show you guys, though.
Okay, now, is anything of this background lights that you already know exist?
It's low. Yeah. It's coming back up now.
Yep.
I'll show you here where you'll see it.
Right, so like the lights off to the right?
Those are just lights.
So can I.
Right.
Tom, go over here. Oh, yeah. There's a call. Right over here, dude.
Okay. Man, I'm going to get right over Amber's shoulder.
It's like watching Saving Private Ryan.
Okay, yep. Holy crap, man.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, it's 11:42 p.m. right now.
That's a car in the background.
Car.
Oh, I just saw another shooting star.
From Karen Amber.
Yeah, great.
Make a wish.
Yeah, they drive really bad, noisy cars.
Yeah, it's just a car in the background. There it is again, dude. There it is right there, Tom.
All right, you see that?
Yep, that little dark...
Wait, watch this.
Now it turns green.
It just dove.
Yeah, I see it.
It just totally dove, man. There it is again.
I got a little bit of it in that time.
Dude!
Is it gonna catch though?
Well, you know, it's all right. At least we got a recording of something. You know what I mean?
Right.
There it is over there.
Yeah, it's right over there again. It's like, let's see here.
Oh yeah, it's
there. It is.
Yeah, it's like quite a ways up too.
It's 11:43 p.m. right now. So, well, as far as recording is concerned, we're 3 minutes in the recording.
There it is.
Yep.
There it is. Oh my God, dude. It just dope.
Oh my God.
What the heck?
It's like a roller coaster, man. It's like going up and down.
If that is someone with a stupid... Honestly, can a little plane do that?
Look at the distance it's covering.
Someone else is seeing this. We're not the only ones.
Look at that.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
I see red and green.
Okay, it's going over.
Okay, I see red and green for certain. For certain. Red and blue or red and white, but there's red.
Yeah, I got a clear shot. I can see it.
Okay, I'm going to cut the video. I'm going to go to a high ISO.
Yeah, so like I said, we're going to have that up for download, for people to download and watch themselves, tell us what they think.
If you download it, you'll be able to stop it.
Oh, yeah, of course,
Try and pick up.
It's tough to see here.
It is. And there are a lot of other little white and red lights in there because it's from the neighborhood below and stuff off in the distance. So, I don't know. It's kind of hard to
And that's fine. That's okay. I mean...
You know, it would have been a camera shot during the day so you could see what towers and stuff are in the way in that same direction.
I know.
We actually drove out after that happened. We drove out to approximately where we thought we were seeing it, what body of water, on the river. We didn't. Of course, we saw nothing out there at that time.
Our asses off.
Yeah, we did.
And at this point, there weren't drones in the air like there are now.
Right.
So this wasn't someone playing with their toy drone at night, and you know all that. That did not exist in 2008 yet.
Yeah. So.
But anyway, if you want to read then the report of the other person, what they saw.
Yeah. Well, we have that here too. Let's talk about that real quick here. I have that right here, and I'll just read the thing. You guys got it in front of you too. This was just I didn't get a date.
So
when
we
this,
were
this
November,
was just posted this week, right?
No. It was before, but we were November 28th. This one's posted December 5th, 2008.
This was December 5th, 2008.
Yep.
Why didn't we see it until now?
Because we didn't look.
We didn't look. Okay. So this was not that. Okay. So this was not far off of our day. November 28th.
A week later,
basically. In response to the other Grand Haven report, which is the report that Amber put in, I also witnessed the same thing, I believe. I witnessed some very strange lights, orange, reddish colored.
And when I was talking about the red colors.
I added this thing, by the way, to give it some actual grammar, because it was kind of a mess. strange lights, orange, reddish color, lights, and an object with white, blue, and green continuous lights, not flashing in the southwest sky over Lake Michigan. The orange-colored lights moved real fast in VW movements. Now, I know what he meant, because we were seeing the same thing. We kind of alluded to that. It looked like the thing. What I was telling people initially was it looked like the thing was on a half pipe, like a skateboarder on a half pipe going back and forth. It was making maneuvers like that. Like you just take your hand and kind of just do a dip with your hand. That was kind of what we were seeing it happen. It was also doing dive bombs, kind of, and we just kind of like level itself out, plateau out.
It was dip, dive, dodge, duck, dip.
Yeah, it was doing the Macarena. It was doing the Macarena
from Dodgeball.
God, all right. I haven't seen that movie in a while. That's a great flick. Yeah. VW movements, and also like the other Grand Haven report, the objects did dives, like the other man said, like bomber dives, very fast and abrupt dives and almost pattern-like movements, exactly what we were talking about too. The lights also would vanish and then reappear a few moments later. It became pretty clear it was like nothing I had ever seen in the sky above the lake in Grand Haven. Kind of strange that there have been these reports in the same area in Ottawa County near Lake Michigan, and they all have sound very similar in nature. This just reassures me that I am not the only one to witness these lights in the sky. The dive bomb statement is very accurate, as well as the strange pattern-like movements. Nice to see I'm not the only one to witness.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was the same damn thing we saw. Literally.
Yeah.
And you know what? We got a video, and the video isn't that great. I'm flat out. We'll totally admit that. We're not trying to convince anybody of anything here. Well, I can tell you that myself and Amber and Tom, who's not with us anymore, were. And Tom, I know Tom could stand right next to us and say the same thing that we're saying, that we saw something. The camera just couldn't pick it up. The technology wasn't there at the time.
Right.
Now maybe, but maybe not. What we saw with our perfectly good eyes, we got our glasses, but they're good enough, was we saw a damn thing in the sky making these movements that we're talking about right here. And it was changing colors. To me, I was like Christmas tree, white, white, green, red. I was seeing a lot of that, right? I mean, it was all over the place. I mean, and the three of us, I'm sure, could give you a different story, too, just what we saw with our own eyes.
Right, right.
But we saw something, man.
And it is kind of hard to pick up off of that video.
It is. It's hard. I know.
Because he's trying to zoom in and out and capture stuff that the camera wasn't capable of capturing, no matter what you did.
I think the only good thing about that video is just our voices and like what we're...
It's fine, because, I mean, the reason I do want to post it up again, we did have it on the old site for, I think it was just kind of like one of our quick posts at flybys. We used to post so much crap on that site. I want it featured now. This will be more of a feature thing with the way the site's set up. Download it. Watch it. I mean, you might see something that we don't see.
Give us feedback, absolutely.
That's totally cool. I mean, or you might say, this is completely ridiculous. You guys didn't see anything. That's okay, too. We don't know what we saw.
Yeah, we're not Project Blue Book here.
Or if there's someone else that is from Michigan, from West Michigan, and they were like, huh, saw that too.
Yeah.
But they didn't report it to MUFON. Please don't say it like that. Well, that's not how Michigan people sound, but that was my interpretation at that moment.
You know, your interpretations this evening,
I know. I do a lot of voices, so. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to know, yeah, and that would be interesting to hear. Like, this was in November of 2008. November 28th, 2008 was the night we saw this thing. We have one person on the MUFON site who said they saw something. They reported it on December 5th of 2008.
Oh, and there were some more people that wrote my website, Michigan's Other Side, and they saw something similar, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, can we grab that and post it on our site?
Yeah.
Amber? Should.
Yep, forgot about that.
So weird. I mean, it's something that...
And has it happened since then? Because that's a lot of years, you know.
Yeah,
that's
talking almost a decade now. We're pushing a decade.
8 years since that happened. So, if it's, you know, a regular spot, someone else should have seen it since then.
Well, the one thing I do know that I can say for myself about this is I never saw anything like that before or after. I've never seen anything like that, and that's what really kind of had me. I mean, even I was one of those weird guys that came into work on Monday. And was like, so how was your weekend, Scott? I saw a UFO this weekend. I saw a UFO in the sky, and I didn't even care what people thought. I was that's how convinced I was of what I saw.
Well,
Scott
I do
to HR. Scott to HR.
When I do my talks, occasionally I throw in a little UFO segment, and I'll put because I screen capture the little blurry blue blob that we got from that footage. And I'll be like, okay, guys, this is how... First off, when I start a lot of my presentations, I go, okay, how many of you guys believe in ghosts? And you'll have maybe 3/4 of the room raise their hands. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I get to that little UFO story, and I'm like, how many of you guys believe in UFOs? And they're like, nah. Like, really? In our grand, giant, mega, many universes, you know life's out there, but these ghosts might be here? Like, okay, whatever. And then I go in and talk about, this is my blurry blue blob UFO photo, and I give them the story, and sometimes I will get people then that will come up like, we had, so we're super creepy. Tom and I were doing a talk, and we had brought our experience up, and this guy comes up to us. We're at this little small library, and he's the janitor for the library. And so
I hear colors.
So he comes up to us afterwards, and Tom at the time, after we saw this, he's like, I'm joining MUFON. So he's like, the paranormal people were irritating him. So he thought the MUFON UFO world has to be better. No. They were just as creepy and weird. So he didn't stay long. But anyway, so he would always tell everybody, you know, I'm a UFO investigator as well. So the janitor guy comes up and he's like, I got a story for you. And so Tom talks to him afterwards. But
I got a story for you.
So this is the creepy part. Mm. So the guy said he was hunting somewhere within like an hour of this library. They were camped out for the night, and they were on a lake. And they heard something and this rumble, and they went and they went towards the sound, went towards the lake, and this object, this craft, rose out of the water and zipped off, which that's a USO, unidentified submersible object or whatever. So,
okay. Yeah, we've heard about those. There's
that's
been
a whole different thing. So, but that circulates, that idea of USO circulates a lot around the Great Lakes, that they're living in the water, they're underground, you know, super creepy. But that guy was talking to him and looking to him in the eye. You're like, this dude isn't crazy. Like, he really saw this. They saw this. He wasn't the batshit crazy weird creepy janitor. Like, they saw it. So I don't know.
Dang.
Thanks, Napoleon.
No, and that's why I feel so strongly about this. And you know that, and not only we were talking about the video thing a minute ago, like, yeah, all these creepy grainy videos and pictures we've seen since we were kids, and we're like, it's some crazy person, you know, it's a weather balloon, whatever. You really, when you are on the other side of the camera finally, it changes your perspective. I really do care a lot more about that stuff. And when somebody does, especially with UFO stuff, if somebody's like, let me show you my pictures, I'm like, I really want to see them now, because I've been on the other side of that. I've also, and I know you've been on the other side of it now too, Amber, is just the mental thing. Like I said, I alluded to it a second ago. I came into work on Monday and I was that guy for a week going, I saw a UFO. Yep, saw a UFO in the sky. Yep, that was me. That was me. And it's like, I've met people like that in my former life, and I'm like, yeah, you saw a UFO.
Sure.
And you just kind of walk away. You know, and it's wrong. You shouldn't, especially now, especially in this day and age, it's the last thing you should do to people. And I know I've learned from that. And that not only was it something, a really cool experience, I did learn a lot from that, and I have a new appreciation for it too. And that's, you know, you brought up something else, Amber, I thought was really interesting too. And I know this is with the path that Ghostly Talk was on towards the end, back in the tens or whatever you call it.
The tens.
I know we veered away from the ghost thing almost entirely at a certain point, and we really did start getting more into UFO type stuff, because we, Doug and I, had the same philosophy on that. We're like, so we got billions and billions of stars, you know, in this universe that we know of, and you mean to tell me that we're the only things that would be considered life? And I say the word life in serious quotes, right? I don't a lot of scientists or a lot of people in academia would say that, well, life has to do, you know, has to reproduce, it has to have these basic functions for it to be considered alive, which I don't believe. I think life can be considered something else. I don't really know, but it doesn't have to be a carbon-based life form to be alive, I don't think.
Because that's all we know.
That's all we know. That's right. That's all we know. Something else could breathe another gas to live on. I mean, that would be considered toxic to us. So what is your idea of life then? Okay. And again, academia is going to say, well, it has to breathe carbon, it has to reproduce, it has to do this stuff, right? I think it's bullshit. I think there's somewhere else. I know there's somewhere else in this vast cosmos we live in, which we're just a very small part of, very small part of. And I'm talking about the planet Earth. I'm talking about the solar system.
Right.
It's just a little flake on a fingernail of something much bigger than we'll ever even imagine to be. There's something else out there. So why do people frown upon? You hear, and I mean, I don't think it's like the Star Wars, Star Trek thing. You know, like that's like serious gang warfare right there. Those guys beat the crap out of each other in some places. But I think the ghost community and the UFO community both have camaraderie, so to say, but you do hear that, like, well, that UFO stuff, those are just from those crazy people that sit out in fields with shotguns in their hands. It's like, no, dude, no, no. I've seen one. They're not crazy. There's something going on here.
Well, and then who's to say that we weren't witnessing some kind of secret government plane doing practice maneuvers in the middle of the night? Well, you know, I mean, we don't know exactly what we saw.
We don't.
We assumed that was another life form steering its little ship. And
I saw an
unidentified.
I saw
fun.
A UFO, an unidentified flying object. I didn't say I saw aliens. I didn't say I saw.
It was unidentified.
It was unidentified.
There were aliens in there.
I saw something that, and you saw something, Amber, that we could not explain. We've seen planes fly through the sky. I've seen helicopters fly through the sky, and they don't make maneuvers
like
that.
Okay, so here was the creepy thing about. Here's the second part to that dream. To that story is my dream. So I was saying earlier that I've had weird dreams. So like good little paranormal people, we wanted to report our UFO experience to the Michigan MUFON site. So the guy who runs that, Bill Konkoleski, is like, well, will you talk to one of our UFO investigators? Okay, yeah sure. So Scott talks, I think it was Patty something. And
Patty Donahue.
Okay, Patty Donahue.
She's still
Donahue.
Part of, she's, I think I got her on my Facebook.
Yeah, I think she's on mine too.
She's still part of MUFON.
Scott talks to her, then he passes the phone off to me, and she starts talking to me, and she's like, well, okay, have you ever had any dreams about UFOs? And I'm like, huh, yeah, a lot of them. And then I started telling her, and I went, oh, because all of a sudden, like, I just connected some weird dots. So the most recent dream I had previous to seeing this experience on November 28th was, I was at my house, and I had gone into my mom's room, and all my dreams have a certain element of idiocy to them, like, I can go, okay, that was kind of funny, even though I was terrified.
Like this?
Oh, boy, sleep! That's where I'm a Viking!
Like that.
Yeah, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like that.
So, in the dream, I go into my mom's bedroom, and I'm looking out the window, and it's dark outside, and I see this little head pop into the window outside and look at me, and it's a little, one of the grays. So, the big head, the big eyes, a little slit for a mouth, and I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, what the? And so I'm like, and then I see it do it again real quick and then pop its head back, you know. And so I grab Scott. I'm like, you got to come here. Come here and look at this. So he comes into the room.
This is Dream Scott.
This is Dream Scott.
So was he any different?
Dream Scott hotter?
Yeah, he had like a nice Victorian coat
is
on.
Is he nice?
And yeah.
Do we like him?
He was dressed really cool. Yeah, we like him.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, yeah, but he was in Victorian costume, which I
really
like. I
want to
live
so anyway, in your dream.
No, he really wasn't, but he pops in, and he, all of a sudden, the little alien pops back into the window again, and here's where my dream gets stupid, and Scott, I'm like, did you see it? There he was. And Scott takes a big blanket and starts covering up the window, going, I didn't see anything, nothing. Then I'm like, then why are you covering up the window?
Like Officer Barb Brady in South Park. Nothing to see
nothing
here.
To see
yeah,
here.
Exactly. Like, calming me down. Well, then I move past him, and I pull back the curtain, and then all of a sudden, it's like I'm looking out, not at my yard, I'm looking out at the Grand River, the exact same perspective that we saw our UFO at. There's the PowerPoint. Or oh my God,
what the hell's wrong with you?
Because I just got done with October and talks and PowerPoint presentations. There is the power plant.
Thank you, Microsoft Office.
Yes.
Great, let's pimp
brought
Microsoft.
Brought to you by Microsoft
you,
Office.
Your friends at Microsoft.
2007, that's how far back I am. God, so anyway, God. Anyway, in the perspective, there's the Grand River, the power plant, right there. And then in this river are hundreds of grays bobbing in the water. And then I wake up.
They just were like, just swimming?
Just bobbing. Just floating.
Did they know how to swim?
I don't know. They knew how to bob. So anyway, I tell this to the UFO investigator, and Patty goes, oh my God, you just gave me chills. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. I should not be giving the UFO investigator chills. So she's just like, well, that's really creepy, you know? And I'm like, oh, that doesn't help. Okay, great. So what the hell does that mean, you know? I mean, that was weird that we saw this thing zipping around in the sky in the same perspective that was my dream. It was maybe only like 2 months previous to that I'd had that dream. Weird. But, you know, in lieu of everything that we're talking about, too, UFOs, since Ghostly Talk stopped, UFOs have come into the whole media more with like the whole disclosure movement. Recently, John Podesta, which is Hillary Clinton's head campaign, I forget what he did before that.
Yeah,
something in the government, and shows you how intelligent I am with this. But when he retired from his government position, he tweeted, his last tweet was that he was disappointed that he did not do more to release the UFO files with the government. So, you know, I don't know. Supposedly Hillary Clinton's going to do more with the UFO community. I doubt that.
Was that part of her campaign?
Nah, she said it early on. I think she said something. But, I mean, you can't base your campaign around UFO stuff or you're really going to lose. But
that would be awesome if someone did, though.
I don't know, man.
I would actually vote for that person more than anybody else.
I would.
Well, and then WikiLeaks just came out with the whole thing with Podesta and Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Yeah, we talked about him a lot.
Which I've before the WikiLeaks thing, he's been on Coast to Coast. He's been on other talk shows talking about his whole thing, because he supposedly is part now of the disclosure movement. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay. So the guy from Blink-182 right. has been talking to people from the government for years, and he is part of he's going to help slowly bring disclosure to the millennials and to the people. And so there were the emails. They existed. Talking to these top-notch people. So, like, okay, Tom wasn't bullshitting us. He really has been talking to these people. And if you go on, like, Coast to Coast and listen to his interviews, they're kind of disturbing. Like, wow, okay, the things that he's learned. And of all people, what, the dude from Blink-182?
Yeah, how did he get so
we're
inside?
Well, he's been interested in UFOs since day one, but then just because he's from a pop punk band, we kind of go, oh, what? Oh,
well,
like,
yeah.
Like, we can't take him seriously, but we can. You know, yeah. I don't know. He's got his way. He's supposedly releasing information, but I don't know. It's interesting. So I think it's a cool time for UFOs. It's ghost stuff is still obviously strong, and there's plenty of ghostly television shows out there still, but...
Well, you know how you were talking about the ghost community and the UFO community are so close, you know, and it's, to me, it's all about belief, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you have the perfect spokesman for both communities.
Yeah.
Space Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Sure, I thought I'd put us a little bit of...
Oh, thanks. Yeah, because that's what we need. Yeah,
we'll put some Blink-182 in the background. Yeah. Let's talk about Tom DeLonge some more.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an interview of him.
You like that, Bonnie?
It's a good...
Apparently, I have never seen this video.
You know, the thing about these guys is I've really been...
It's kind of loud.
Is it loud?
Yeah.
I think they're using more pixels than they need to, but you know.
Probably. They probably need like one pixel.
Oh, yeah, they're running around naked. Yeah, the thing about Tom DeLonge, and, you know, I mean, those of you who are music nerds like I am, I mean, Blink-182, yeah, was literally, they were one of the big three like what we call like pop punk bands back in the day. And there was there was a crap ton of them actually, but it was like Blink 182, Newfound Glory, and Green Day. That was those were like the three biggest bands in that genre when it happened. And for that to happen now, because if you ever listen to Blink 182's music, literally, I mean, they even said like we made a career out of dick and fart jokes. That's every song was about the same thing,
pretty
right?
Much.
So to hear Tom DeLonge go from I think that really something really has to happen to you. I mean, like we just got done saying about what's up, Amber?
Sarah's been here for 10 minutes. I guess the door was locked.
Oops!
Oh crap! I did relock it.
Something has to.
Make me one thing.
Oh hey, make me a drink.
You guys can take a break.
No, let's keep going. I want to keep riffing here. Yeah, we're good. I think. Like we were saying about this video that you know that we filmed and the experience that we had with our thing and how it affected me at least, right? For a person to go from making a career literally out of dick and fart jokes, which, you know, Blink-182 is a great band. They're a lot of fun. But they're a pop punk band.
Right.
They're a fun band. That's a party band, right? I mean, pop punk is party music. And for someone to go, and I mean, I've listened to the interviews with Tom DeLonge, and his demeanor... He was always kind of, you know, towards the end there. I mean, and he has only been out of Blink 182 for a couple of years now.
Right.
His demeanor is so different now. I mean, I've watched, I mean, I wasn't a super fan, but I watched the band. I have their records. I like that band. And he was a fun guy. He's a guitar player. He's a singer, you know? And something I think really, really would have to happen to you.
Yeah. Now, has he
ever
said.
To change you like that.
Has he ever said anything specifically that. Made him do that turn?
Not that I remember, no. I mean...
That would be curious.
One of the things that, you know, when Amber and I listen, and he's like, there's a lot of things, you know, I mean, you hear this a lot, and it kind of bums me out when I hear that. Like, there's a lot of things I can't talk about. Yeah, I just can't talk about it. We're gonna be doing something to put this information out there, right? You know, and what the hell does that mean, Tom? Yeah. Really?
You can't talk about it because you're going to try and make money off it? Or, well, you know, what is... If you're
well, somebody like that, if that's the case, that's bullshit.
Right, because if you're trying to spread information, then you should be talking about everything all the time.
Well, the thing is, I've watched a bunch of these videos where we talk about these things and whatnot, and I've watched interviews with people that are like, well, you know, you say that, you know, you're this nonprofit person. It's like, you know, there's one video actually I have of a guy who's like said he worked at Area 51 and all this stuff, and he's like his voice is masked and all this crap, and they say... Well, you know, you say that you, you know, you're not trying to make money off this thing, but we're giving you $20,000 for this interview. How do you explain that? And he's like, right. Well, listen, I had to quit my job. I'm literally hiding from the people that want to kill me because I'm telling you this information. How am I supposed to live? I have to get something to live on here, right? So that part I get. Now, somebody like Tom DeLonge, I don't know what his angle is. Right. I don't know it all yet, and I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about Tom DeLonge either. I'm only going to buy the little bit I've heard of, you know, heard him talk about this stuff and the music, the great music he's been a part of, I think. And just experiencing those two polar shifts in attitude, that's what's weird. But somebody like Tom DeLonge, he's a millionaire.
Right.
The guy's a millionaire.
He need the money.
He don't need the money. Right?
Which, is, on one hand, frees you up. Frees up a lot of
time. It seems like
for
that. Like, hey, dude, I can do whatever I want. This is something I want to really figure out what the hell this thing is.
And maybe that's all it is. You know, maybe that is his. The reason why he's doing it is because he can afford to. Where the rest of us actually have to work.
Yeah.
And spend most of our lives doing other stuff.
But what a great thing to do, though. Finally, maybe that. I mean, I know he's not the only person, but to take look, I don't have to work. I made a lot of money. I'm independently wealthy now. I'm gonna go and make a change. Because I think this is a problem. I think people are switched off. And I've been saying this shit for years, not on and off this show. I think people are switched off not only to an idea like this, but a lot of ideas. And I think if you don't believe, and I'm going to go on record. I've already said it. If you don't believe that there's something, and I'm not saying like, you know, little green guys coming out of a spaceship. Nothing like that, right? If you don't believe that there is not life somewhere else in this universe... This universe, not in this solar system, not in this galaxy. I'm gonna open it up to the universe, right? Then you're switched off. Your eyes are closed, man. You're crazy. The science speaks for itself. Come on, really?
Personally, I think they're gonna find some fossil evidence on Mars because it was a very wet planet at one time, which is the basis for what we know as life.
Yeah,
I think they're also gonna find life of some form on Titan.
Okay.
Jupiter's moon. They, you know, absolutely. Distance, though, is a killer.
Well, yeah, we don't have the vehicles. I mean, they're every day, you know.
Well, I mean, for anything, unless they know some better math than we do on, you know, you can bend time, you know, you can bend space. We do know that.
Yeah. Interstellar, I know.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
But, I mean, if you actually place yourself right next to the Great Pyramid, your watch will run slower.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And it is proven. And the guys that are in the space shuttle, they have to adjust their clocks all the time because... Yeah.
Relativity.
Right. So, I believe you can bend time and space.
Yeah.
You should be able to travel through time and space. Mm-hmm. Knowing how to do that is far beyond our capabilities right now.
At this point. Yeah.
Right.
At this point. The only question I have... And every day, and this is what I was going to say before. I mean, every day, all you got to do is go on your stupid Facebook account, and it's getting worse and worse, especially with this election going on. It's gotten ridiculous, dude. Yeah. Every single day, I look at my Facebook thing. It's either Trump's finished now, we finally found the evidence against him, or the other way. Hillary's finished now, we finally found the evidence against her, right? Or him.
Written by the Conservative Tribune, too. You
right.
know.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and I look at the link, and I'm like, well, this isn't CNN. I mean, we'll see, like, CNN's any better. I mean, nothing. It's all bullshit anyways. Right. But, I mean, yeah, it's some, like, you know, R-O-X-X-X-X dot
right.
C-U or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a reputable news site. Okay, fine. But the same thing goes for stuff like this, because obviously, you know, Google and the web crawler and the almighty hell Satan of the internet has grabbed a hold of my psyche and my personality and now knows exactly what the fuck I like out of my life and what I want out of my life. So all the crap that I see now, of course, is tailored to my interests.
Which, all of a sudden they're eliminating a whole bunch of stuff that you might want to see outside. And I don't like that at all.
But my point is that I do see a lot of articles on UFOs and science, because I like science, right? And every day, we finally found this is correct. We found the way to master relativity. We're going to be going to Mars tomorrow. If you guys want to go out there and have a couple of beers, we'll be out there with you guys. And I see this stuff every day, and I'm like, oh my God, we've solved relativity. We know how to go through a wormhole now. Blah, 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 blah.
Elon Musk is going to be there tomorrow.
But there's nobody going there as far as we know, but we don't know. We don't. Right. How do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it comes down to we don't even know what the hell's going on the other side of the planet right now.
Right.
All we see is pictures, war, famine, disease, right? We see pictures. We don't really know what's going on over there. And I'm not going to, well, given the pictures I've seen, I don't want to fly a plane over there to find out, but.
Right, exactly. But that's my point.
How do we know what's going on in space? You know,
well, that's what I figure. If we can use the Kepler and actually pick out planets that are across galaxies and see them and know that they're actual planets, you would think anybody that has the technology to travel through space would have something better than that to look at us. All they've got to do is take one view of us and realize they don't want to be here. Okay, give them 200.
I don't want to be here.
Yeah, give them 200 years, they'll kill themselves. Then we'll have all the free planet.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that's one way to. I mean, that. But we. How do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
How the hell do you know?
Everything is supposition.
Like I said, we don't even know as people. The three of us sitting here right now. Amber kind of disappeared. I think she's upstairs with Sarah talking.
Yes,
she's getting drinks.
The three of us sitting here right now, we don't even know.
No.
Well, I don't know what the hell's going on in the city next to me right now. There could be some horror, and you hear about it, like some. And I often say it to myself, like, you know, I'll come home and I'll read the news or whatever the next morning. It's like, oh, there was a triple murder suicide in this city. I'm like, dude, that city's like about a mile away from me. So, holy crap, that's pretty heavy. Like, a mile away from me, there was some guy greasing his whole family, and then he greased himself.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Hell, I don't even know that's going on.
I don't even know what my neighbors do unless they use binoculars, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, and to tell fact from fiction is impossible, you know?
You don't. Everything that's thrown at us, especially now in this day and age, with the technology that we have at our fingertips, literally at our fingertips now, we never thought we'd get to this point, but we're here. We can get fed so much information. And I see it every day, and it still blows my mind. It still blows my mind, the amount of information that I can ingest in one day now, professionally and personally. It's numbing. I never thought we'd be there. But is it true?
Exactly.
Is it true? I think 99.9% of it is bullshit. It really is. Oh, my God. We have the cure for cancer. I see that every day. We found the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
Well, push it out.
Yeah, if you go on like a Yahoo site every other one is you see a sponsored next to it. It's like, get this off of my, you know, yeah. I don't ever need to see this.
I mean, you know, this is just what I'm seeing on the surface. This is just right. what I see as a person who is a part of the internet. I'm an internet citizen like you guys are. We're all citizens of the internet, I guess, now. We're citizens of the giant server. And this is what it's come down to, though, too. I think there's obviously a million great uses of the internet. I mean, I really enjoy it. Look, this is the reason we're doing this show.
Absolutely.
If there was no internet, Ghostly Talk would have never happened, either in its old incarnation and its new incarnation. It's a beautiful, fantastic bit of wondrous science that we have in front
and
of us.
And we're spewing out information.
Yeah, but we're
spewing something.
Exactly. Frankly, the information we're spewing out is probably as useful as that, like I said, that Facebook thing. But I hope it gets you thinking.
Right, and that's the, but that we've also pointed out the fact that everything we're saying here, we have no proof.
No,
or nothing.
And that's how it's always been.
Yes,
man. That's how it's always been. So I guess, you know, I feel like we should land this thing. This is a good landing point. What do you think, Bonnie?
Sure.
Is there anything you want to get off your mind?
Land this bitch. I'd just like to wish my mom a happy birthday.
Your mom, yeah. Happy birthday. I haven't seen your mom in a while. I haven't seen your mom since last summer when I came pick you up in the Corvette.
Yeah.
That was a fun weekend. That was a really fun trip.
Yeah, we should do that again.
I'd like to. I might have to figure something out for work. I every once in a while I get little bennies for it. I've told you about it before.
Right.
Bonnie and I went down to the Edna C. Collins Bridge. Which we did talk about in Ghostly Talk back in the day. I just needed to make up a road trip. I had a pep car to play around with, and actually it was one of Drunk Scott's ideas too. I don't think I told you that part of it.
No,
it was a Drunk Scott idea. The night before I was going to pick that. No, that was a couple. It was like whatever. I knew when I was going to get the car, but I was talking with my neighbor and we were sitting in his garage, just throwing him back and goofing around. And I'm like, I got that car coming next week. I got to pick up. And I'm gonna get to play with the car for a week or two. And I'm like,
and he said it just like Doug.
I said it just like that. No, but just like Doug. But Drunk Scott's like, you gotta figure out. You gotta just make up some kind of road trip. Make up some kind of road trip so you can just take that car out and cruise around and have fun. And I'm like, Edna C. Collins Bridge, Greenville, Indiana. Like literally is the sticks.
Yeah.
So we drove this brand new Corvette. Literally into like dirt road. Oh, that poor car. It was a fun trip though. But yeah, that's the last time I saw your mom. I come pick you up and I talk to your mom and she's like, oh, I got a car. It was fun. So yeah, happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
And we probably won't do another show before then, so we'll just all wish him a happy 50th anniversary next Saturday.
That's next Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents 50 years, huh?
Yep.
Well, my parents
congratulations.
My parents just did 46 years. Was their
it's
anniversary.
Very rare anymore.
Oh, it's totally rare, you know. And your parents seem to get along pretty good too. Okay, I'm wrong. My parents don't get along. My parents want to kill each other. My parents want to kill
just
each
like
other.
Any couple that's been together for 50
for
years.
For 50 years,
they
yeah.
know exactly what buttons to push,
and they also know when to leave the room.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, after you do the damage, you might as well just get out of the blast site.
My dad takes this sadistic thrill in pushing every button that he knows will drive, like he'll be doing it and looking at me and winking and smiling, and I'm like,
knowing what
Dad,
he's doing.
Stop it! She's gonna flip out in a minute. Just
yeah,
and Dad's
cut
like,
it out.
Yeah, and I've got to go. I'm out.
He's mad, but
well, we kind of went all over the place here
yes.
tonight, and I'm happy we did that. That's kind of the direction I think.
Well, I said I'm glad I came out here for a half hour.
Oh, well, Bonnie, do you want to talk more?
No, we're good.
No, seriously, we can.
I can
figure
part
something
two
out.
And do a whole new.
We started on gutter guards. We can keep going with that if you want.
I don't want to talk about gutter guards.
Well, I feel bad now that you drove all the way out here.
That's
for a half
fine.
Hour. We're gonna hang out after. Yeah, we're gonna hang out after.
It's fine.
We'll just put the recorder in the patio while we're out there.
Oh God, no! Don't do that.
Yeah, we'd all be
that
done.
That's the most politically incorrect shit anyone will ever hear.
And we have to be correct for who?
Well, we don't have to be politically correct ever. I don't think I ever am, but
I hope these shows keep going like this.
Yeah,
this is kind of what I want to do. I mean, I kind of want, and you know what, guys? Really, I mean, and as I said at the beginning of the show before you were here, Bonnie, I mean, I'm really blown away. We've really gotten a lot of email, a lot of contact from people. They're happy to see us doing this thing again. And let us know, like back in the day, like, you know, let us know. I know I forgot to turn the furnace off for this week. That's the same time it's went on. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if there's something that you want to suggest. And that's Ghostly Talk was formed around a lot of that stuff back in the day. A lot of it was people going, hey, you guys should talk about this or try this or try this idea. And a lot of those ideas filtered their way into the infrastructure of how the show ran, you know, on the front end and the back end. We would do things, right? So let us know. We're totally open about that. This is obviously just a...
I think we're going to get plenty of requests for a reappearance of the fruit fly.
The fruit fly has to be here every week.
Freddie the fruit fly. It's our dear friend
from Georgia.
There's been a couple of them.
New mascot?
There's two of them. There's two of them in the house, and I don't know where they came from. I got one. I killed one, and I think the other one's trying to plot his revenge on me now. That's why he's following me around. I don't know where they came from. This is a pretty clean house, but there's been these two fruit flies flying around.
It doesn't matter how clean the house is. You're the one that killed my brother.
You killed my brother. Dude, well, I killed a squirrel last year accidentally. No, it was 2 years ago. I was going down the road here by my house.
He was driving you nuts?
He was driving... But I was going down the road, and I mean, he just ran out in front of me, and I, you know, it was one of those, like, boom, you know, you hit it and you feel it, and I'm like, and I look behind me, and there's just like a tube on the, a little hair tube on the ground, and I'm like, oh my dear, don't even, I see you grinding your teeth right now, stop it.
Yeah.
I got really paranoid though. I really got paranoid because I'd be out riding my bicycle somewhere, and I'd see like a group of like four squirrels standing there, and I swear they'd turn around and look at me. And be like, that's the guy. That's that motherfucker right there, man. We're gonna get. And I'm like, they're plotting. They're gonna kill me. I'm gonna wake up one night and there's gonna be like 40 squirrels in my bed,
with a giant tube.
That's it. No, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. All right, guys. I think we're gonna
now
land
I
it.
Know how to plot revenge on Scott.
What? You're gonna get squirrels
Let
after me?
40 squirrels into your house.
I love squirrels. I actually found
would
a devil in the front yard.
Would you love 40 squirrels in your house?
I wouldn't like. No, that would suck. That would totally suck. I wouldn't like that. One of them died. I found a dead one in the front yard just not too long ago. I was pulling out of the driveway, and I'm like, what's that furry hair tube in the in the yard? I'm like, oh, it's a poor squirrel. I had one last year. I was sick one weekend, and it was one of the – I'm like, okay, I'm just going to lay here, watch Netflix, and just – so I spent a whole weekend watching, like, horror, like, all of them, like – like them 1-2-star horror flicks on Netflix, just like going, okay, I'm just gonna just see how much I can take here. And finally, like, that was like Friday and Saturday I did that, like around the clock. And Sunday I started feeling better and the weather was breaking. I'm like, well, you know what, I'm feeling better, I'm gonna get out and get some fresh air, I'm gonna start pulling, you know, get the refuse cans out from behind the shed and all that stuff, just start getting things set up for the nicer weather and whatnot. The cans were filled with water from the snow and stuff like that. And I'm kind of in this, like, you know, horror movie mode. I've been watching like shitty horror films for the last 2 days. And I dump one of them out, and out rolls a dead squirrel, like, you know, completely like pickled dead squirrel.
Nice.
And my neighbor, like, he could see me, like, you know, through the privacy fence, I guess, or something like that, because I go, ah!
And I
screamed like a little girl. I was like, ah! And it was just, I was kind of in that mode, like jump scare mode. And it's just something poor thing. And it just kind of like rolled out, like just that gross, like, bleh, and just kind of like, just, like it was just soft. I mean, I didn't want to touch it.
A soft, furry hair tube.
Scared the crap out of me. So I got dead squirrels. God damn it, dude. I got dead squirrels all around me.
Dead squirrels on the ground.
Right, Dad.
I will
song about
never
that.
Look at a squirrel the same again.
But we got a whole family that lives here. They're cool. They chewed up my cable lines, little pricks.
they didn't want you to podcast.
This is what they did. That happened after I killed their brethren.
Stop the podcast.
They. This is true. I my internet got all messed up, and I had the guy come out, and he's like, "Oh yeah," he's like, "the house was fine." He's like, so he went up on the pole and he's like, oh yeah, the squirrels chewed up all the lines. It overloaded the signal to my router, my modem, and it blew up the modem. So I had to buy a whole new modem on top of everything. I'm like, they got me back. They won, dude. That's it, guys. We're calling it a week. Thank you all. Keep them coming. Keep the emails coming. Let us know. Tim, thanks for coming in and hanging out tonight.
Thanks for having me out.
Mighty
here.
Fat Jesus, old friend of the show. Yeah, thanks for. Yeah, I appreciate it. Hope you had a good time. And,
absolutely.
We're gonna go outside and probably do the same thing we're doing right now, but without headphones on our heads and mics in front of our faces.
And more drinks in our hands.
Later, guys.
Later.